Hello, this is the Aligned Birth Podcast. You have both hosts here today. I am Dr. Shannon and doula Rachel is here as well. And our birthy topic for this time around is, we're going to title it Empowering Birth, Navigating Labor Contractions and Home Labor Preparation. The goal for this one is to know how to count a labor contraction, like understanding what a contraction is, what it feels like, and then a little bit of the difference of, like, you hear about Braxton Hicks and a little bit of false labor. So how to differentiate between the two, and then how to count the contractions, because that's going to give you insight into how labor is progressing. If you are going to the hospital, when do you need to go? If you are laboring at home, when do you need to call a midwife? When do you call the doula? All of those fun things. I feel like I'm going to learn some today because, I don't, you know, just it's the counting labor contractions. Like, when do you count? When does it start? When does it end? I am excited to learn a bit today.
Welcome to the Aligned Birth Podcast. I'm Dr. Shannon, a prenatal chiropractor.
And I'm Rachel, a birth doula and childbirth educator. Together, we're here to bring you conversations about pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. From cesarean to VBAC, hospital to home births, we've experienced it all. We are high school friends who reconnected through our shared passion for health and birth. As moms to two young boys, we've both changed careers after our own transformative childbirth experiences.
Join us as we discuss the importance of a healthy body and mind throughout pregnancy, birth, and into motherhood. Our goal is to provide fun, interesting, and helpful conversations and interviews that inspire learning. When your body, mind, and intuition are aligned, you can conquer anything.
Sit back and relax, or grab a notebook and take some notes, or maybe listen as you enjoy a walk. However you choose to listen, we hope you enjoy this episode of the Aligned Birth Podcast. Before we get into the episode today, if you enjoy the content of this podcast, we would greatly appreciate your support in one of three ways. First, leave us a review or give us a five-star rating. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and make a bigger impact. Second, you can sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll be the first to receive new episodes and exclusive bonus resources straight to your inbox each week. Lastly, you can become a direct listener supporter. Running this podcast requires significant time, effort, and resources. Your contribution, no matter the amount, helps us continue providing valuable content to a wider audience. Simply use the links in the show notes to make your donation, sign up for our newsletter, or leave us a review. Every contribution matters and is sincerely appreciated. If the Aligned Birth Podcast is a part of your weekly routine and you love what we are doing, please consider supporting us through one of these three options. Your support will create a ripple effect, allowing us to reach more listeners and make a lasting difference.
So, welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Dr. Shannon. Very excited for our conversation today. I think this is an important one that can help people in a very, very, like, bite-sized way of learning how to simply understand what a contraction is and how to track it so that you can hopefully labor at home more confidently until you're ready to go to the hospital if you're doing that. Or if you're birthing at home, that you just have that confidence to kind of do your thing at home until it's time for your providers to join you, because we really want to keep, you know, stress to a minimum in early labor. So, like, understanding what's happening can help you feel more at ease during that time. So that's kind of the big why behind us having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Because, and we've done this before, we'll probably mention again later, we have an episode 124 on how to labor at home as long as possible. So that goes a little bit more in depth into, like, why do you want to labor at home as long as possible, especially if, obviously, if you're planning to leave the home and go birth somewhere else, whether it be a birth center or the hospital. Because if you can get to the hospital a little bit more progressed into your labor and birth, then there's the potential of not having as many interventions, which can lead to the potential of having a more satisfying birth experience. There's that. So that's what we were really talking about, that one. But this, again, too, now, how do we count those contractions? What is a labor contraction? What is a contraction? And, you know, we've done episodes too where we've called them different names. Oh, I feel like I saw something recently. Oh, no, I shared that. Okay. What did they call it? I'm going to have to look it up because it was something I shared on social media. It was so funny because it was these two women. They were across the street and they were yelling at each other, not like angrily, but just talking because they were across the street. And this one woman, she was like, "Oh, you had your baby." And the other one was like, "Yeah," because she wasn't pregnant anymore. And they were like, "Yeah, that was a real thing." Like talking about pregnancy and then talking about postpartum. And then, yeah, why do they call them contractions? And they came up with something funny. And now I can't think of what it was called.
Oh,
but it was
no.
Great.
Now you have to go.
Now I have to go find it.
We have to find out what that is.
I don't know what it was, but they called it something besides contractions. Anyways, we're going to talk
something that was funny
on the show.
Well, so I like to refer to them as expansions, but I don't think that's what they probably
said.
No,
they were making fun of like the pain aspect, you know, so like it should have been called.
Yeah,
and
they should call
know,
it something
funny.
Else. Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, so yeah, there's power in your words. So maybe you change the word.
Yeah, contraction just it insinuates stress and tension. And we are always talking about releasing stress and tension in labor. And we need our body to open. And so contraction just sounds restrictive. So when I talk about contraction, I'm like, it's actually an expansion of your body, not a contraction. Mm, but the uterus is contracting, but you're with that contraction, it's facilitating so much. And so when we talk about labor and birth, we like to talk about it in a way that's enlightening and empowering and like, oh, like that's a different, like a flip of the script way to look at it. Mm-hmm. So we can embrace it and not fear it. Because if you're pregnant and you're choosing to give birth, like you want this. So we want to find ways we can see it as a positive thing that's happening, you know, especially when you're anticipating labor. All you want is like for labor to start and your baby to be here. But then like everything in between, you're kind of like, you want to skim over that. But you need all of that in order to get your baby here. And so I do love talking about this conversation, at least, especially understanding just like what's happening within the body. But like starting simple, like what is a labor contraction? So that's that rhythmic tightening and relaxing of the uterine muscles, signaling the progression of labor. And so some physiological changes are occurring during this time. Your body is starting to produce more oxytocin, which is your love hormone. That's your bonding hormone. That's like when you feel safe, connected, private, comfortable, maybe dimly lit. Like all of that is now like help release oxytocin. And it's released in your brain. And then it's a feedback loop between your uterus and your brain. And you have oxytocin stores on your uterus. So they build up over time. So when you start having contractions early in labor, they're usually, for most people, pretty mild. They kind of feel like menstrual cramps or maybe low back pain, depending on where you're feeling them. And they start low and then they build up. And by the time you're well progressed into labor, it's like the whole abdomen is tightening and contracting. Versus just like the low achy feeling. But even in those early parts where you're just feeling maybe a little bit of a cramp and they're really sporadic, not very consistent, spread out, not intensifying over time, like it's still producing oxytocin. It's kind of priming the body for labor. And so you might have this off and on for some time before labor kicks over into full-on labor. Or you might have those types of contractions that then quickly lead into more intense progressive contractions. And so we have oxytocin playing on the uterus, causing it to contract. The uterus is a muscle made up of a ton of fibers going a bunch of different directions. So they go diagonally, they go up and down, like it's just covered in these smooth muscles.
It's an involuntary muscle though. So it's not like your bicep where you're like, oh, I'm going to do that. Like you can't
strengthen
it. Contract uterus. It's the same thing with your digestive tract. Do something. Small intestine, you know,
involuntary muscles. Yeah. Right. And so that muscle is contracting and tightening and shortening. And when it does that, so at the bottom of your, at the bottom of your uterus is your cervix. And I encourage you to look at a diagram if you don't understand where things are in your body. But you have your uterus and that's where the baby is. That's where the placenta is. And then at the bottom of your uterus is your cervix. And your cervix starts out kind of cone-shaped, kind of longer, a couple inches or an inch or something like that, maybe. and thick and firm and pointing towards your tailbone versus like pointing toward the front of your body. And with contractions, so cervix is at the bottom of the uterus. The uterus is these involuntary muscles. And when they're contracting, they're pulling up, and therefore it's causing change of the cervix. Every time you have a contraction, it is pulling up on the cervix. And that over time helps it soften and thin and dilate. And then strong uterine contractions help move your baby down and out. So it's helping facilitate all of that. But in early labor, how you can kind of think about it, when you're having those contractions and maybe it's going slower, especially for first time birthing people, like it takes time. So like I just described it in this very like way, but your cervix needs to soften.
Yeah.
Hours or days. And this is typically a time of labor that is more manageable. These contractions are more spaced out. So your uterus is having this rhythmic tensing and releasing, tensing and releasing. And that's a really important thing to know too, because if you think of like one big contraction or like you're going to be in this intense discomfort infinitely, that's very intimidating, but know that it tenses and then it relaxes and you get a break. And like for the most part of labor, for at least like early labor and active labor, it is like 2/3 relaxation and 1/3 intensity. Like that's the kind of like you're contracting, it's intense, but then you get a break. So that intermittent type of pattern makes it doable. So I want you to like people to like visualize that. And so we understand the uterus is helping cause change to the cervix. And so the difference between Braxton Hicks contractions and like, we'll call them real contractions just for lack of better terms, but a contraction is a contraction. Like if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. If it's uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable. Braxton Hicks doesn't cause change to the cervix. So a Braxton Hicks contraction is tightening of the entire belly for like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, maybe longer, kind of takes your breath away. It's like a really, really tight hug. And they're very sporadic. They might only happen for a period of time and then they stop. And they don't like progress or get closer over time. They don't form a pattern.
But that's really the big thing, the pattern, I feel like. Or if you go to take a bath or something like that and they stop, that tends to be more of the Braxton Hicks, correct? Like it's more of when, like if you were stressed or dehydrated, sometimes moms will be like that and they'll have the contractions. And it's like, oh, if you go to a place and you're calm and you rest and then they stop, then it's kind of like, okay, we know that that was triggering them as well.
That's always our first response. If someone feels like they're having Braxton, they can always describe it. And we'll be like, okay, kind of sounds like Braxton. We don't ever like, it's not discounting anything. It's like, well, it sounds like Braxton Hicks, but... And then usually it's like, well, I worked in the yard today. I had a 12-hour shift at the hospital. I was with my kids at a birthday party for 4 hours and I haven't had any water or whatever. Like, and then we're like, okay, so here's your here's what we recommend. You're going to drink a big thing of electrolytes. You're going to go get in the tub, a warm Epsom salt bath. You're going to drink more water when you're done and you're going to put your feet up and maybe go to bed early. Like it's a signal to the body of like, let's just take a beat. And so that's what we encourage. And then when things calm down, it's like, okay, cool. That's, you know, just carry on as normal and then wash and repeat. Cause some people just have them more regularly than others. And with subsequent pregnancies, like a lot of second and third and fourth time moms experience Braxton Hicks sooner and more frequently. Don't know the reason behind that, but that is, we hear that a lot with our moms who have given birth before. But yeah, how you kind of already said it, but how you know the difference of Braxton Hicks and actual contractions is that the Braxton Hicks don't, or the contractions don't stop. Like they progressively,
those type of things, like it's, yeah, no, it's
they
still
progressively
going.
Get closer or longer in duration, stronger in intensity and closer together. And then they don't stop. We even say that, like, even if you're experiencing like what seems like probably real contractions, but they're still in a stop and start pattern. It's sort of the best approach is to ignore it until you can't. So if your body is doing this start and stop, it's like until they don't stop, try to ignore it. And of course, support yourself in that time with rest and hydration and gentle movement and activity and, you know, some we want to do all the things that support oxytocin and relaxation and all of that, but really mm-hmm. just try to carry on as normal best you can. And mm-hmm. then when they don't stop, that's how you know. They mm-hmm. start forming a pattern. They start getting longer, stronger, closer together. And then you know. It's like, and mm-hmm. we like to get acquainted with labor pretty quickly. Like once it's happening, okay, I get it now. But then everything leading up to that feels very ambiguous. Even what I'm saying now feels, mm-hmm. I'm sure to those who haven't done it before, it feels ambiguous. So just like to sort of share a little bit about how labor contractions, what they are, how they work. And I how to identify them. And we kind of have already said it. Mm-hmm. That was our next point, was like how to identify it. But, you know, pattern,
I remember the, and two, sometimes I'm sure clients call you and then you can kind of, and we've talked about this before, like hearing their voice, if they're talking through it and they're managing it, like you can tell a difference in the voice between mm-hmm. early labor versus like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, we're progressing. You know, there's that aspect.
Oh yeah.
I know I've shared before, but I was pregnant with my second and it was, we were at the holiday party because he's born close to Christmas. I remember sitting there talking to one of the male supervisors. I'm very pregnant. I actually gave birth the next day. So I think I was right at like 40 weeks or whatever. So I was very, very pregnant. I had just eaten eggplant parmesan because I was on the menu. And I was like, sweet.
Very
eggplant parmesan. I'm going to pick that. And I remember sitting there and having a conversation with him. And I like gripped the table because I would have such intense contractions. And so I'd like squeeze the table and I would just nod at what he was saying. And I was like, this man is so clueless. I'm like, I am literally, I don't know what you're saying. We're trying to have this conversation. And so we're gripping the table and then being like, ah, and then they'd go away. And just kind of, it was interesting to feel that progression of like, oh, that's very strong and intense, a little bit regular to it, you know?
And then like and you feel let go.
That was fun. Yeah.
You feel it build
I just
up.
That.
Yeah, and
it was
you,
fun.
And then you get real familiar with it real fast once it starts happening.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I can manage this.
That's
yeah,
super
this
cool.
The
and then
I remember
you're
that.
Just like yeah. rocking just on, like
I know.
Yeah,
here we go. I'm gonna have this conversation.
Oh my goodness!
And then I had him last, and then I had him the next morning.
So cool. That's so cool. Yeah, with mine, my contractions came on like in the late afternoon. They stopped. I went to bed. I was like, okay, I guess it's not. And then woke up with like very strong, very evident like contractions. Like there was no like questioning it. Cause I support a lot mm-hmm. of clients who like, it's this, am I in mm-hmm. labor? Am I starting? And mm-hmm. again, we just have to reiterate until we just have to carry on as normal, ignore it until you can't. Your body will know when it's time. And that's for me, like I was having in the evening time, these like, I don't know. And then when I woke up, I was like, absolutely, these are contractions, no question about it. And then with my second, I had like contractions and some like bloody show, like in the early morning on a Saturday. And I was like, I was anticipating things to kind of pick up and we were going to be like game on. I like called everybody, got my birth team on deck. And it was a full 24 hours later before I had my baby. And I had on and off contractions all day. I thought baby was coming like that morning before. Just yeah. by, I was yeah. like, I'm having all these symptoms. It's time. And then I basically had on and off contractions all day for like a 12 hour period. And I went out to dinner with my mom and dad and my husband and my younger son and had a glass of wine. And then things were really quiet and I went to bed and then woke up at like 2 a.m. with very strong, very evident contractions. But so like that day it was a mental like Olympics I was doing in my head uh-huh. to not get too worked up. Like, okay, I knew I was having contractions, but they hadn't like shown that pattern and that like that progression. So I just had to kind of, we went to the store, went for a walk, took a nap. Like I did all the things, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Exactly. Exactly.
But being out to dinner and in labor is funny. People look at me crazy when I give that as a recommendation. And I'm like, you can totally do it. No one will really know. Like,
no.
For the most part. So you don't distract yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So how to time a contraction. Hold on 1 second. There we go. Sorry about that. So how to time a contraction. You know, I think this is important to know for the birthing person, for their spouse or husband or whoever's going to be supporting them in those early, early time of labor. So how to time a contraction. I mean, there are lots of apps out there you can use, but I still think it's important to know how it's timed and measured, regardless of if you're using an app. So a contraction begins when you feel the tightening or the hardening of your uterus, and it ends when the uterus relaxes. So you'll feel this as like a slow build. And that's the, like when you feel it coming on, that's the start of the contraction. And then when it has stopped and you feel like your uterus has let up, then that's the end of the contraction. So that's the length of the contraction. So start of the intensity to the end of the intensity. That's the length of your contraction. So those might, in the beginning, might be 20, 30 seconds, building up to 45, 55 seconds, and building up to 60 to 90 seconds being the length. And then if you can imagine your contraction as like a bell curve on a graph,
it's exactly
a slow build, right? And then at the very top is the most intense. So you're not in like level 10 for the whole
time. It's not like bing and straight over, not like a mountaintop. It's
a gradual build,
it's a bell can,
and then it rolls over, and then it starts to fade away. And I like to always touch on, like, if you can see those, like the beginning of the contraction and the end as points where you can really still kind of release tension and be in a, like a very open surrender state, and then do what you got to do at the peak of the contraction, it's going to serve you really well. So as soon as you start feeling it wash away, you're like relaxing your body, doing your breath work, you know, releasing the tension, and like melt like butter or rag doll. The sooner you can tap into that on the downside of your contraction, the better.
And that's the duration, correct? Like that's how long.
That's the length of the contraction.
The duration
itself,
of the contraction.
Or the duration of the contraction. Yeah. And then the length between contractions. So we've given you like the length of the contraction, and then the length between contraction is from the start of the contraction, of the one contraction, to the start of the next contraction.
Okay.
So that's the length between contractions. It's because some people, and understandably so, think that it's from the end of a contraction to the start of the next contraction.
Yeah.
And it's from the beginning of each. And that's going
to
give you more time.
I feel like it's the same thing with nursing. When you, like, how long, when do you start the thing? It's like when they started nursing and they ended, and it's like, nope, it's the next time.
Because the end is very unclear. Because the end is hard to put a point in.
Exactly.
And so the start is very clear. And that's why. Same thing with breastfeeding. You know when you start, and then maybe they're like just nibbling or not really eating as much at the end. So it's hard to really define when it ended. And so same thing. That's why you do it from start to start. But it is confusing. And so that is like in early labor, you might have 20, 30 minutes between contractions, right? And at that point, I do not want you timing them. Like if you are having them and you're not able to be like, yeah, they're coming regularly, I personally and professionally as a doula don't think you should be timing them until it's very clear that they're coming more than a few in 30 minutes. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because if you get too focused on timing them, you're too much in it. And I want you distracted, self-care, relax, do anything, remember it, nor take can't. And so if you're timing them, then you're very much focused on what's happening. So if they're over 30 minutes apart, you do not need to be timing them. And so then as it feels like they're notably maybe getting more intense and longer, maybe close together, then start timing them. And you can use an app. You can use like the stopwatch on your phone. You could simply use a pad and paper. What I love about the apps is that it does the math for you. So you're able to see, it calculates average duration and average length between contractions. After you've done it for 30 minutes or an hour, it'll give you your good idea about where you're at. So I like the apps. There are lots out there. So just do your research. And I don't think you need to pay for one by any means. But definitely that is an option. And so once you feel like they're getting close together and it's hard to ignore them, then time them for a period of like 30 minutes to an hour just to get an idea. And then even at that point, I would stop timing because you're just trying to get like an idea about where you're at. You don't need to keep obsessively timing. So you can see, okay, have things progressed? Like, are we getting close to that marker of when we think we want to kind of head to the hospital or call our midwife or whatever? This is a great conversation to have with your care provider about, based on your circumstances and needs and preferences, about when is a good time to go to the hospital, or if you're doing a home birth, when is a good time to have the midwife come. General rule of thumb is a 5-1-1 pattern. So that's where contractions, now you've learned about the length between contractions,
and we know frequency, of the contraction. Right, the duration and with right. frequency, how often they are. So yes, now.
So the 5-1-1
what does that mean?
Is a rule of thumb that your doctor might throw out or you might learn about, but it's a good measurement of where you're at in labor. It can be, right? General rule of thumb. It's when contractions are 5 minutes apart. So that's the length between contractions. They are lasting for at least 1 minute. And they are doing that for at least 1 hour. So mm-hmm. that's your 5-1-1. So that's a good indicator. So that whole like contractions are now at least a minute and they've been doing that for an hour and they've been coming in that interval. That's a good indicator that you are in labor. Like mm-hmm. you're in this rhythmic pattern that doesn't appear to be stopping or slowing. And it's, but have to be always very careful because everyone like can be different. Like mm-hmm. you might be further along in labor and never achieve that 5-1-1. You might be very, very sporadic in your mm-hmm. contraction pattern and get to transition. So again, general rule of thumb, always trust your body. If things feel like they are getting much stronger and intense, like that's like, you want to be talking to your care provider, your birth team about like where you're at. Mm-hmm. This is a benefit to having a doula. I mean, I'm a birth doula, so I'm partial, but we're in communication with our clients early on. So like from that very first contraction, we're checking in with them, asking about what they're feeling, seeing how they're doing, giving them things to do, distraction techniques, relaxation techniques, like, you know, and then checking in every couple of hours. So we're along that journey. So like if you're, you know, just for example, if you're giving birth in a hospital, typically for your provider at that hospital, you're not in communication with them until you're like headed that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be if you wanted, but we're like, we're very much available. We're like on the phone. We want to hear how you're breathing. We want to hear how you're right. coping. And so since we're along that journey with you, we're able to kind of see that progression and be able to help. Like, we don't tell you when to go to the hospital at all, but like be able to help you be like, okay, it sounds like things are progressing. It sounds like you're breathing different. You're more inward. You're, you know, less talkative, like all these signals to us that are like, okay, plus that pattern, that 4-1-1 or something like that, is a good, like, okay, maybe it's time to go. So, you know, documenting your contractions that way, being in contact with your birth support team, whether you have a doula or not, or your midwife or doctor at the hospital, just if any like changes happening of like, hey, my contractions are going and they are getting stronger and longer. They may not tell you to come to the hospital. Hopefully they tell you to stay at home until it feels like things have progressed, but they're going to affirm you and be like, okay, it sounds like you're in labor. Just drink some water, take it easy and let us know if anything changes, but still give them that update. Let them know so they can kind of be along that journey with you. And then, note, of course, if your water breaks mm-hmm. during any of this time, you want to let your provider know. If you're having like a bloody show mm-hmm. or anything like that, that's like mucusy tinged, it's blood tinged mucus, mm-hmm. Vaginal discharge that you might have. You might have it before labor begins, but you might have more of it as labor is going along. Anything like that, or any concerns you have, of course, always reach out to your birth support team, your provider specifically. But yeah, that's a little bit about kind of how to time a contraction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm looking at my notes.
No, I think that, I mean, that was, yeah, that was everything that we really wanted to chat about with it, you know, understanding, yeah. I think that's important to know though, understanding how are they timed and what does that mean in that like aspect of like the 5-1-1, and then a little bit too of what's happening with the contractions. That can really help, because then you can use some maybe visualization things if that's something that you want to do for pain coping, where you can look at like, okay, this is what's happening with my body. I use this with patients, just everybody, and then not necessarily pregnant, because if they've got muscle imbalance somewhere, so a lot of times it's between the rhomboids, it's right between the shoulder blades and the back. That's where our posture tends to like crap out, and then our shoulders come forward. So when I have people with shoulder blades up, back, and down, I touch them back and I say, I want you to envision this is what these muscles look like. This is where they are. This is where you are pulling your shoulder blades back. So that same thing can be done with labor and birth with the contractions. Like you can picture, I don't know, in my mind now, it's like I see this like little uterus, because they're so cute, like cute shaped. And then it has this little smiley face and it's just smiling. And I was just like getting stronger, you know, it's like building muscle and it's getting stronger and then contract. So like you can visualize things like that as it goes on. And maybe that can help too.
Yeah. We had a client who did very strong visualizations during labor and ended up having a very fast, smooth labor. But she said every contraction she had, like she counted down, I think from like 100 or something like that. And she envisioned, like she would breathe and she'd give that contraction like a number, and then she would exhale and she visualized her contraction like thinning, or her cervix thinning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With every contraction, she kind of counted down, and in her mind, she's like, I'm not doing anything or worrying about anything until I get to zero. Or like, she just was so focused on the breath work and the counting and visualizing her certain. And it felt
that's cool.
Really, it was like, yeah, you have some magical powers, because everything went like,
yeah,
really fast,
really smoothly.
But,
so
I mean, there's a number of variations there. I love a good visualization. I love the idea of with every contraction, it's an expansion. With every contraction, your cervix is doing that thinning and softening and dilating, and then baby's moving down with every contraction. So if we can say that contraction is purposeful and helping get you to the end goal, it's less like you don't have to resist it so much. So I love a good like flip of the script, a good visualization, and good like, how am I seeing this?
Because that contraction word can have like negative connotations with it. And if you're only really focusing on the contraction, like the squeezing aspect of it and the intensity aspect of it, that's like engaging. I like the aspect of understanding, well, what else is happening with the contraction? It's working on the cervix. So then, yes, can you visualize that? Because that's like opening and expanding and doing what needs to, rather than focusing on the like aspect of it. No, that's great. That would be great to know. 14 years ago.
Well, hindsight.
That's okay. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is great. I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. I hope that this brings a little bit of peace to those who are getting ready to have a baby, so you can understand a little bit more about what's going on with your body. And how it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and then ways that you can support that as well. So again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Align Birth Podcast. We hope you found our discussions informative, inspiring, and enjoyable. Remember, when your body, mind, and intuition are aligned, you have the power to overcome any challenge that comes your way. We appreciate your support and leaving a review or rating, signing up for our newsletter, or becoming a direct listener supporter. Your contribution helps us continue delivering valuable content and reaching more listeners like yourself. Stay connected with us through our newsletter to receive the latest episodes and bonuses straight to your inbox each week. You can also connect with us on Instagram at aligned_birth. All links can be found in the show notes. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of the birthing individuals and new moms. Thank you for being a part of our community. We look forward to sharing more empowering conversations on the Aligned Birth Podcast. Until next time.